from here to there. We cannot go unless we change and start to grow. Welcome to Lead, Sell, Grow, a show that helps you amplify your leadership, grow your sales, and take your life to the next level, all while being human. Here are your hosts, Eric Konovalov and Harry Speight.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience podcast. We're so excited for this week's episode. I'm joined by my main man, Harry Speight, who's going to introduce our guest in a minute. But before we do that, if you haven't joined us on Facebook yet in our Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience Tribe group, head over there, join the group so we can have some authentic conversations. We want to hear about your experience with our show, our guests, and kind of would love to get your feedback and chat with you in person. All right, besides this silly commercial for our Facebook group, Harry, what do we got today?
Today we have a guest, Eric, and we will be doing an excellent podcast because we have the world-renowned Bob Doyle. Now, Bob, you may have heard of his name before because he was involved in the book and the movie called The Secret that came out in the early 2000s. And Bob is best known for that contribution, but since then, he has shifted from the metaphysical aspects of the law of attraction or reality creation process to a more grounded and biological look at what controls our experiences. That thing between our ears, Eric, that would be the brain. So Bob, welcome to the show, and we're both very excited about this upcoming conversation.
Well, Harry, Eric, I am also excited about this upcoming conversation.
Hey, Bob.
Great deal. So tell us, Bob, what's changed from the law of attraction days nearly 20 years ago to today?
Well, I think what really prompted me to make a shift is because, you know, 20 years I've been teaching the law of attraction. There's a lot of conversation about energy and vibration and resonance, and there's vision boards and there's meditation and there's just all this stuff, right? All these techniques. And then The Secret came out, and then everybody and their grandmother became an expert all of a sudden and started throwing their law of attraction products out on the market. And most of them were kind of based, you could tell, they were based on what they saw in the movie, and that was the extent of their expertise. So the marketplace got flooded with a lot of really confusing and magical thinking type of information. And look, The Secret was certainly contributed. They had a genie in there. So, you know, it's reasonable that people would kind of look at this sort of as this magic wandy kind of thing. That's the unfortunate part, because when I had my aha moments around all of this, it was not because the woo-woo part of it was what was keeping me from having any kind of results. Because even though I love the idea that everything is energy and the vibration piece and all of it, I personally needed something that was a little bit more grounded in science, just so my brain would allow me to even do any of this stuff, you know, because I was the son of a teacher and I'm just analytical and skeptical by nature. So I learned all the woo-woo stuff, the science stuff, and that's what I was teaching. And what I really focused so much of my career on getting people to understand the law of attraction. But with all the information out there, it was just confusing. And then I had this huge, probably one of the biggest of my career, aha moments a couple of years ago, because, you know, it's so hit or miss. I can give them amazing coaching and information and they can get it from anywhere. And yet somehow they were either not completing or they just weren't finishing the task of getting whatever they needed to do to get the results. So it occurred to me that, you know, where does reality creation really happen? And if I was to ask a law of attraction person that, they'd probably talk about, well, when you first visualize the thing and all of that. No, your reality is created in the moment that you give meaning to the moment, right? So your reality you're experiencing right now, and based on your whole entire life, you're making meaning out of this situation and assessing, is this a good experience? Am I there? Whatever, a million different thoughts. But all of them are taking place in the moment based on the meaning that you're giving the moment. Then that meaning that you give things will move you into action, or it won't. Or it'll move you into action that serves you or action that doesn't serve you. All of that is based on how your brain is wired. So if we want to change the results we get in the world, we have to change who we're being in the world, and what drives who we're being in the world is our wiring. And our wiring got put into place basically unconsciously from the time we were born, And we had no control. We didn't know we could assess or evaluate or is this going to serve my higher good? None of that. So we just took it all in and said yes to everything. So in a large part, our brain was wired by our environment, our parents' beliefs, our school system, whatever our environment was. And that becomes our truth. And that truth guides our actions and our actions get our results. So it goes back to if we want a different experience of reality, different results, we have to be different so that we can get different results from our actions. So, and when that all happens, when you're just being who you're here to be and taking action that's consistent with the person that you need to be to have the life you want, the law of attraction stuff just happens. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to obsess over the vision board. You don't have to think about, oh no, I had a negative thought. I guess I just undid everything. So that was the shift. It was just because this approach to the brain, there's nothing to debate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's very clear. The science is very clear. We can change our brain. Okay, good. Let's do that. So then it becomes, what do you need to do to change your brain? And that is now how I help people.
Wow. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I think both Eric and I are in agreement with you, but I won't speak for Eric. But, you know, the whole concept of, I mean, do you believe in the Napoleon Hill line that whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve?
Yeah, I think for the most part, because the only thing that stops us from achieving anything is ourselves. Mm-hmm. We just stop too soon. We get too much feedback or things that are perceived as obstacles. So ultimately, it is up to us whether we are going to continue in the face of whatever.
Right. So it's really the whole vibration and the mystical side of the secret that you kind of left behind. And
It's not fair? So much that I want to be really clear to those people who really, you know, love studying the law of attraction. And I, you know, it's not like I'm walking out on that. It's just it's not important as I thought that everybody understand the ins and outs of it to make because it doesn't matter. It's going to work anyway. Just like if I drop a glass onto the ground, it's going to break whether or not I understand gravity or not. So I could obsess about all the physics of gravity and understand and debate things all day. The glass is still going to hit the ground. So people are wasting literally decades of their life sometimes trying to figure out the law of attraction, trying to chase their divine purpose when all they have to do is decide who they want to be and begin to send consistent messages that are in alignment with that so that they can rewire their brain and change the autopilot wiring they've been having for years. And then, and only then, will transformation become permanent and lasting. Anybody can go to a seminar or watch a movie and get excited and neurotransmitters get shot out of the brain and go, I'm going to totally do this. Right? And then Tuesday comes around and something triggers them, that old wiring that is their whole life of, oh yeah, I can't do that, or oh, this person would get upset, or whatever it is. And they will rationalize and justify not moving forward because that, and it doesn't make them bad or wrong. It's just their wiring is in control and they don't know it. So really the first skill set I teach people is to become conscious of their autopilot wiring, because until you do that, there is no free will. You're on autopilot. You are running robotically in reaction to whatever, feeling like it's free will. But you're not assessing anything, and you're not really going, is there another, a more empowering way I could be right now? You're just like, nope, this is the truth, and this is how it is. But it's not the truth. It's just your wiring, and you're responding on autopilot. So true freedom, true reality creation comes when we break that autopilot cycle.
So what's the difference in your mind between the brain and the mind?
The brain is the thing, right? Just the mass of cells and all of that. And I think the mind is all that is involved that's going on in there, the thing that sort of branches into consciousness and things we can't possibly understand and never will understand. You know, the mind is sort of, there's so many theories on where is the mind? Is it in here? Is it out there? But I think of the brain as just the, you know, the mass of cells. And the mind
is the wiring. The wiring you're talking about, is that in the brain or in the mind?
It manifests in the brain, directed by the mind. How about that? So our thoughts and the way that we process them create the biological response in our brain that grows neural pathways, right? Or reinvigorates them or whatever. So it is our mind and our thoughts that we can guide if we allow ourselves to. That then it's like programming the computer. We get a hard drive and it's blank. And then we tell it what how to behave. And this is what we're doing with our brain.
And then it just runs that program.
Yes, but here's the thing. It takes time to rewire. It takes consistency. And you really have to know why you're doing it. You got to be really, really driven and inspired. You have to inspire yourself, because now we're taught, our whole life we've been programmed on autopilot for the most part. Now we're talking about being intentional about it. We're talking about instigating growth. And guess what? It, just like every other thing you ever learn, there's some discomfort. When we learned to walk, we fell down a gazillion times. Did we quit after we fell down the second time and said the universe doesn't want it for us? No. But a lot of people do that when it comes to their goals and dreams. Well, I did a vision board and it looked like it was coming and then it fell apart, so I guess the universe doesn't want it for me. This is why I have stopped having this conversation, because it's just so ridiculous. There's no logic. You know, we are born with these passions and this ability to have an imagination for a reason. We get to formulate what our future is going to look like, and we get to see and decide who we need to be to have that future. But most people don't do that. They're just running on autopilot. Their thoughts are about their problems and how they're going to solve their problems, not about the future they're going to create or how they'd like to change themselves to be a more empowered version. But they can do it, just like they can learn a new language. They can learn to be a new person. It's the same thing. New information on a consistent basis over and over, getting feedback and adjusting.
Bob, a computer can't... I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
you go. I was going to say, thanks, Harry. A computer can't rewire itself.
Okay. Yes.
How do we do that?
Well, we have consciousness. We're not a computer. We have consciousness.
Okay.
We get to have a thought. We get to evaluate our situation and have and do critical thinking. And look, I don't want to take away from the idea that a computer can't do, because who knows where that's going. AI is getting insane. I'm not even kidding. I mean, where artificial intelligence is going, it's one of my side passions. It fascinates me because I see the parallels, you know, between humanity and where we're going with technology. There's just so much. But for the time being, man is programming the computer. It's just the thing. But we get to program ourselves because we have the ability to have conscious thought. And we're connected to things that we can't possibly understand. Because if we want to have one woo-woo conversation, we're all energy and we're all connected. And it's all just an illusion. It's just energy. And our bodies are this incredible interpretation machine for the energy that is the universe. And we are taking in all of this energy, and we and our brains are interpreting it and showing us reality, what reality is to us. But it's basically all electricity.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, I just love the passion. I was going to make a small joke earlier that you need to become a little more passionate about your core values here.
Yeah, I know.
But years ago, I spent a couple of years in the Dominican Republic, and it seemed like everybody said, if it's the will of God, right? So their line was, well, if God wants. And that was how people lived. And, you know, the country is in an impoverished state, or still is, I'm sure. And, you know, there's not a lot of proactive, go-getting, you know, mindset. And it's just people are just waiting, so to speak, for God or the universe to kind of direct their lives. Is that really any different from the way you see people today, other than the God thing?
Yeah, just in Western culture, just letting it happen and not being proactive about changing it. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, all the time. I mean, there's so many people who have their whole... This is the thing. We get married to our stories about ourselves, but they keep us stuck. Well, the reason I don't have all this money is because this, and that person, and you just keep telling that story, and that all that does is fortify the wiring.
Right.
The truth of that situation. It's never going to change anything. You have to start telling a different story. Yeah, but it's a lie if I tell myself, so is what you're telling yourself about how limited you are. It's just a different lie. So tell a freaking empowered one. You know, allow yourself to feel good. And let people call you crazy, because they might. One of the biggest challenges about transformation is how it impacts the people around you and what their response is. Well, I can't go for something that big because my mom, my dad, my wife, my spouse, my kids, my neighbors, my coworkers, blah, blah, blah. They'd say this or they'd think that, right? And it happens all the time. I have this quiz that I have people take to identify their transformation personality type, which basically shows them what are the traits within them that stop them from, you know, basically completing the brain rewiring. And people pleaser is one of those types, because it's like you can be all excited about your transformation, but as soon as it starts making some key people or person uncomfortable, now you start to doubt yourself. But it's and so most people stop there, and they don't get to ever live their lives so that this person can be more comfortable. But guess what? Nobody's comfortable. That person isn't comfortable, or they wouldn't be telling you that you can't have your dream, right? Nobody's comfortable. So you stop your dream to make them comfortable. So now you're both just sitting in this discomfort that you call comfort because it's familiar. And this is why people just don't grow. That's just one of the types.
Oh, but it's a I totally can relate to that. I mean, I was thinking, like, over this past year, I've made some changes in my life. And I was thinking back to people I met in high school. I mean, previous jobs. I mean, all these weird faces that came into my life and said, what are they going to think? And I'm not even a memory in their lives, right? I mean, if I'm in their life, it's for 1 second a year. And then you just, you got to say, well, if I'm only in someone's life for a few seconds or a few minutes a year, why should I let them impact what I do? Right. Exactly. And I think that's exactly what you said, because that hit me, because I'm a pleaser. I like to please people, and it's just paralyzing.
And there's a reason that you are wired that way. And I'm sure that, which is a little look back at your life and key events and all that, you can say, oh, yeah, I see where I probably got that, you know, but now that you see it, now you got the the responsibility. Now it's like, OK, well, I can continue to tell this story and insist that this is how it is. And that everybody needs to be happy, or I can create a version of myself that doesn't give a about what anybody else says, which is so freeing, right? Yeah. And when you look at the people who are really out there doing stuff, I mean, they're doing it because this is who they are, and they will attract the people who love what they do. So at first it feels weird because you're on a different track and everybody's calling you a weirdo. Well, to them you are, but to a bunch of other people waiting for you to shine, you're not the weirdo, you're exactly who you need to be. And they're waiting for you, right? But you're robbing everybody of the experience by playing small and justifying and telling your old story about not moving on.
Right, so true.
So you got people pleaser, what are the other traits?
So another one I kind of talked about, or I certainly addressed the type, is the wizard type, which is the magical thinker. They're the ones who see the secret and go, oh, okay, all I gotta do is close my eyes and think bike. And then grandpa will show up at the door. You know, and it's like, and here's the thing, all of this, the law of attraction and manifesting or what, it can occur quite magically. Like, extraordinary things happen sometimes. I'm sure we've all had those situations where just like, it's, this is way more than a coincidence. How did this happen? But there's just, there's so much that goes into, you know, the manifestation process or whatever, but it's that, that magical thinking of like, all I have to do is nothing or think. Basically, that is just a, it's a psychological term, this magical thinker, that something out in the world is going to happen and I don't have to do anything to make it happen. And that's the version of that. So that's the magic, the wizard. The skeptic is another one. That's what I was. The one who would love to think that all of this is true, that I can, in fact, be the person, have the things, you know, whatever. But I've been burned before, or this doesn't make sense, or I need science, or I need proof, or whatever. So there's nothing wrong with the healthy skepticism, because obviously it keeps us from doing ridiculously stupid things. But when we identify ourselves as a skeptic, who is just skeptical about everything, if you're looking for a problem, you will find one, right? And you will find a reason not to do or complete the thing. And so it's like there's that line that you cross between being healthily skeptical about things and then just blocking out all possibility. So that's the other one. So we got the seeker, which is the number one. Seeker is the one who tries everything, but never completes anything. Or maybe completes a program, but then is on to the next one without letting the wiring take place. This is all what it comes down to. There's a gazillion great, gazillion is my favorite number. There's a lot of programs out there that are great, that will do the job, that will transfer. And look, I look at this law of attraction, because no one's taking gravity courses, okay? But a lot of people are taking law of attraction courses. So this is just one approach of many that will rewire your brain. But unless whatever you're doing is done consistently enough, with enough, you know, with enough inspiration that you keep going when the feedback gets a little tricky or whatever, you're not going to rewire and you're not going to have the transformation. So the seeker never lets it complete. They're excited. They love it. Oh, this program, you got to do it. They get all their friends to do it. And then I just found another one. It's even better. I mean, I know a gazillion. being in the industry like this for 20 years, I mean, with all the different events and stuff like that. And here's the other thing, you know, this whole industry of personal development, I still feel like I'm on the outside looking in. As I told you guys before we started recording, my career goal was broadcasting, and I still like to broadcast. I do voiceover work. I do live streams that have nothing to do with any of this. I just like to entertain. That's the heart of who I am. This whole conversation, law of attraction, I sidestepped into that because it was my passion, and I had a program, and it got the attention of the people who were in The Secret, and that's what took me out of my little cave. You know, it's like when, because I was happy just to hide. You know, that's radio, right? Radio, I get to hide, and just digital programs and get to teach, I get to hide. But then The Secret happened, and it's like, come and speak. What am I going to say? No, that would be ridiculous. So I got out there and I realized, okay, well, I like this, but I'm not those people. Like those people I was in the film with, most of them, they've been in this industry for a lot longer than I have, and they have a different level of, they're in it different. And there's a lot about the industry I absolutely despise.
Like, and what, so, for instance?
Well, there's just integrity issues all over the place.
Okay.
You know, and so, and that's very, you know, that's frustrating. And I was, when I first started even just marketing, it was like a game. It felt fun. And it was when people still opened their email, and, you know, it wasn't like it is today. And so I just got to communicate through my, you know, through email, just exactly how I was. I didn't have to use any tricky language, no marketing tricks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was just a real genuine relationship that I got to create with people. And it brought me a great deal of success. And actually my career got way more challenging post Secret. Because then I felt like, oh, I got all these eyes on me, and there's people have expectations. And I got some feedback that led into that. So this whole aspect of my silliness and sense of humor and all the stuff I really, that's inside me, you know, as a broadcaster, I felt like I had to tone it back. And at the same time, I had all these now internet marketers who basically they're not used to selling personal development. They're just used to selling internet marketing things, and they have their own style and techniques, all of which make me want to vomit. So but I thought, well, these people know, you know.
Yeah.
So I gave over a lot of my marketing engine to some of that, and it worst, hardest lesson I ever learned. To this day, I still feel the repercussions, because I mean, there was just so much that happened as a result of suddenly who I was to, like, my email list changed, the languaging changed, the way I came, everything was like, you know. And I look back at the marketing videos and things like that I did. And I never went like slimy or whatever. It wasn't that. But I just look and I go, that's just a shell of a person, you know, who is just being, hi, I'm Bob Doyle, one of the featured teachers in the film and book The Secret. And if you da-da-da, that kind of thing. And I just like, that's so not who I am. So live streaming really saved me, because live streaming was so much more casual, and there were people on the other end, and there was a real connection. No scripts. Right? No, it was just like, I'm just there to serve you. So doing live Q&As and live things like that, and just being silly and letting people get to know who I really was what saved me, because I would have been out of here. I would have been out of the industry, because I just couldn't find a way to have fun until I was just like, hey, you know what? Just be Bob and see what happens.
Yeah, that's great. Eric, what do you think?
Well, I think what you're saying is the law of attraction, it exists. It's a universal law, but you can't expect to sit there thinking of something and it show up. There's that action piece, and there's a lot of rewiring we have to do on a front end. And what I heard you say, Bob, is that you got to get a clear picture of what it is that you want, who it is you want to be, and start acting into that role before anything starts heading your way.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Bam.
But there's a lot of things that stop you from just acting as that person. That's when all your wiring comes in. That's why I am still in the industry, because I can help people through that part. You know, there's that discomfort and giving them the tools and the community and all that support that if they do it by themselves, 93%, that's just some rate that's out there about the failure rate of personal development, right? If they're on their own, as well-intentioned as they are, as committed as they are, if they don't know what they don't know, if they can't learn to recognize their autopilot wiring, then they're going to say, they're not even going to think about autopilot response. They're going to just be, oh, the truth is this crappy thing happened and I can't move forward. But that's just their interpretation based on their whole lives of programming. So I'm there to help them come up with different ideas, different ways to look at it, different ways to plan the day, end the day, and go through the day and you know, and some techniques to that help them override the strong emotions that come up with it, the discomfort, you know, to make the process smoother. We're trying to basically undo or change sometimes decades, an entire lifetime of wiring, right? And we're trying to be efficient about it. So yeah, you need tools, you need a process, you need a coach, you need, if you're going to be efficient. Otherwise, it's just going to be a long haul, because you're always going to come up against your stuff, and it's not because you're broken. This is, and I'll just say this, and I'll shut up. But as a coach and a facilitator of coaching groups and all this, one of the other things that people do is they beat themselves up all the time. I should know this. I should know this. I shouldn't have done this. And it's like, stop saying that, because you're only making it worse. You're fortifying some idea that somebody gave you that you're not enough, or that you're broken, or that you don't get it. It's nonsense. You're wired. It's perfectly natural that this situation would be a challenge for you. Let yourself off the hook, and just let's think about how you'd like to be in these types of situations, and let's run it in your imagination. That's why we have this thing. It's how everything gets created. Somebody comes up with a thought, and they process, and they build, and they get feedback, and they make mistakes until it's done. And that's what this is too. Where we've got this idea of what we're trying to invent. In this case, it's ourselves, not an iPhone. What are the features of this, right? And what can I start embodying right now? Like, so many people think, oh, I'll be that when. I'll be that when I have $1 bazillion. Not a gazillion, that's too much, but a bazillion. You know, I'll do that when. And it's like, there's so, if I was to write down all the things, if I was to have someone write down, which I do, all the things that they'd really love to be doing with their lives, but they're not doing it because they're waiting. There's so many of those things they could do today.
Yeah.
They can start being in alignment with that person today.
Yeah. When you think of, like, you know, humanity, and I don't know what the number of people in the world is now, but I don't know if it's 6 or 7 billion people. And, you know, you think about the people that are actually looking to do some self-improvement. I mean, the percentages are very small for people to even be aware of it. And then for the people who are in that group, I mean, I spoke to someone relatively recently, and they said, well, I don't do self-help. And, you know, when you go to school, in high school or whatever, right, all of that's self-help. You're learning, right? You pick up a book, it's self-help. You read the newspaper, whatever.
Navigating life is self-help, right?
Everything, exactly. So I just get a kick out of that. But then you look at the percentages of people inside of that group that say, I want to be better, that actually are taking steps to do it without being discouraged.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are infinitesimally small, aren't they?
Right. Yes, but I think they are. It's like, it boggles. Like, I have to be reminded that there are people out there who have no idea what personal development is. Like, no concept at all that things can change. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a major reset. Because being in the industry where everybody I know and run into is in it, having it, doing it, whatever. It's like, of course, we're all trying to improve ourselves all the time, right? No.
Right.
So that's not it. However, I think things like The Secret, that certainly introduced this whole concept of, hey, maybe we got a little bit more control over our lives than we thought, to a lot of people. We had a massive jump thanks to that film. I mean, it caused its, you know, controversy and debates and all that other stuff too, but it woke a lot of people up, and it validated a lot of things for a lot of people as well. And now there have been many other films that are sending a similar message, like, hey, you know, there's much more you can do to create your reality than you were probably told. And I think that this is, like, ours is kind of the last generation where a lot of people aren't going to know about this kind of stuff, because it's so prevalent now. We have social media. I think a lot more people are exposed to the possibility of change and transformation than ever before. And, you know, when I'm just watching, like, my grandchildren are, you know, coming up in a world now where I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You know, it everything's changing so freaking fast, not just technology, but social interactions and values and just all of it. And it's really funny too. When I crossed 50, I went my whole life thinking, what's going to change? And then I realized, wow, a lot does. Like, a lot changes about, and I know now, as I look at the youth and don't understand at all what's going on, I realize, wow, this is just, it's every generation, always, forever, it's going to be like that. They didn't understand us, we don't understand them, and we just have to let it go. they're taking over, not us, right? It's their world now. And so let's just try to, but this whole thing of like, oh, these kids and their devices, dude, you gave them the device. Right. And now you're trying, and it is, it's too late. They're wired now device wise. My son, who, you know, got into computer games and stuff at my urging and devices, because I handed him one, he thinks so, like his brain processes information so much differently because of what, how he interacts. Things like games now went from just shooting everything and blowing stuff up to inventory and crafting and just complex. And their brains are just all this. And so it's no wonder when they go into a school that goes, here's how you learn. And they're like, no freaking way. Right? And then when they do that, they're like ADD and they're labeled executive functioning disorder. You got all this stuff. And it's like, guys, you're just too far behind. You can't handle what you created when you put this stuff in their hands. It's, anyway, I got a little bit of passion on that too. But
so what do you do for, how do you, like, for your children and grandchildren, do you try to help them to slow down a little bit, to reflect on the now, or?
Well, so for my kids, like, my kids grew up with two different versions of me for sure, right? Pre-Law of Attraction, Secret, etc., and then post. And you know, so it was a whole different kind of set of values and thoughts about abundance and just everything. But then they, you know, they learned these principles because they were brought into the home. And obviously, you know, I was in the freaking secret. So they learned that kind of stuff. And but they still had to go through their own journey and they resisted some things and all that. So really, one of the questions I got originally was, how do we teach this to our kids? And my answer was always the same. You got to freaking live it. Be it. You can't put the book in their hand and go, do that while I go do the complete opposite and rationalize it. Because that's not how kids work. You know, they're going to look at you. But what I'm seeing now, I'm actually getting interviewed now by people who were like little kids. It's humiliating. No, but I mean, it's very, they go, I grew up on The Secret. I'm like, oh my God, okay. Yeah. I'm old, but these are some extraordinary kids, and they think differently than like the generation, like my, let's say my oldest daughter, who's now in her 30s. These younger kids, they've been exposed to a world where this kind of conversation is going on. So I'm not about forcing anything. I'm just about living as an example. That's really, I feel like, the only thing that's going to effectively communicate anything to children anyway.
Yeah. So how do you rewire something? Like, what? Give us an example of the last thing you rewired about yourself.
I'll tell you the biggest thing. Because I, despite being in The Secret and despite all that I know about this, that, and the other thing, as I said, I was wired to, as a result of like my, you know, my mom and my upbringing. Not that my mom is a negative person. However, I would always go to what could go wrong first. That's just my default. Like, I need to worry about this thing for an hour, a day, a week, 2 weeks, and then I can, you know, and that was just sort of my wiring. And I really thought, even well into this career, that that's just how I am. I wasn't thinking about wiring. It was just like, I just go that way, you know, and it's a bummer because I have to suffer so much. But then when I had this sort of about rewiring and realized I just got to start telling myself different things. And by the way, and then I looked at all the suffering I had done and I realized that it gained me nothing. Like, there's no advantage to the worry. But I had been programmed to think that it's almost like the responsible thing to do. Oh, something happens, let me worry about it a little. Let me ruminate on it. You know, like, that's what I learned. Because just finding the answer and being positive about it, that seemed irresponsible and unrealistic. But I realized that, you know, when I started just taking on, like, some of my favorite triggers and saying, I'm not going to just like, let's come up with something different. What if I didn't let this bother me? What if I came up with just any other reframe? So, but it was a process, and I can't tell you exactly how long it took, but I've only been really in this, like, being super conscious about my own rewiring for a couple of years, but that doesn't happen anymore. Like, it used to be all the time, just all the time I was worried about something. And now, and I didn't smile that much. Naturally. But now a smile is my natural way of being. And I remember thinking that would never be the case because it just felt unnatural and weird. And that I would always get triggered by this or that email or this subject matter or whatever. And it's a freedom. It's a freedom of quality of life because I really thought I'm just going to, I just have to deal with this. You know, it's just how I am. But now I realize, no, I can be however, you know, however I want to be about things. So for me, the rewiring was mostly about how am I, just quality of life stuff. You know, how am I going to respond to situations that don't send me down, you know, this rabbit hole of worry. So that's my biggest accomplishment, because it changed my whole life.
What do you tell people who just can't see that clear future, that, you know they're not where they want to be, they don't like their current life, but they're like, well, I don't know what I want?
Well, then I ask, so that's just sort of an inquiry about, like, well, what inspires you? Who inspires you? What are the kinds of things? You know, it's just sort of a general, like, let's get in touch with your core things that excite you and inspire you and make you feel good. What kind of TV do you like? Do you have hobbies? You know, let's really kind of just explore and stop trying to figure out the ultimate answer, because that's what gets people stuck. You know, it's like, I need to get it just exactly right. And while we do want a, you know, pretty solid foundation, if you're not really clear, we have to do some, like, there's a reason some people are disconnected from even their sense of passion. Like, they don't dare think about what they love because somewhere along the line they were taught that it's never going to happen, or that it's irresponsible, or that it would be unlovable or unacceptable to do that. And so when you ask a person what they really want to do, right, immediately they are wired to shut that down, because they don't think it's appropriate, for whatever reason, to even dream that big. So they just go, I don't know what I want, but it's right there. They just don't dare to dream it. So when we can give a person a clear, like, show them that you can have that dream, let's get there logically. If different behaviors, if things happen differently, could you have that dream? Just dissect it. It's a logic. I love logic. Like, let's just break it down and let's just bust these beliefs. Let's just show the illogic in some of the arguments, right? About, like, why you're blocked about something. And then we just play with ideas and get creatively inspired. And then one day it just starts to gel. And you just start with whatever you can latch on to. Like, okay, well, I'd like to play music more. Maybe not for a career or whatever, but I'd like to express myself. So what does that look like? What would that open up for you? How would you feel if you got to do that? And then let that grow to the next thing and the next thing. Because sometimes it's an unfolding. You won't have all the answers at the beginning, because first you have to get this one little answer. You have to have this one little breakthrough before you are allowed to see the rest of it. So it's a process.
Man, as you're talking, I'm like, my mind's going to, like, well, I couldn't do that. You know, like, my passion. Yeah, well, I love riding a motorcycle. What am I going to do with that? What am I going to become, like, a motorcycle racer or something? That can't work. I'm not going to do that.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
That logic stops people from just doing stuff they like to do just for the sake of doing it. Like, you don't, what, it's an entrepreneurial thing. For sure, it happens to a lot of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, where everything they do has to make money. Like, there's got to be something that I can generate revenue with this, you know. And I can't ride the bike. But, I mean, it's so important. It's just basic self-care to do the things you love to do, to give yourself that dopamine hit, to feel in alignment with why am I here. Like, for me, I love to play the ukulele. It's like, if I could do anything all day and nothing else, that would be it. But that's not my career. But I have to let that express. I have to let that flow. And who knows what will happen with it. I just keep getting better and better and better. And one day I might want to just do something with it. But for now, it's honoring that this is a part of me that needs to be expressed. That was my whole post-secret angst. I wasn't expressing any of my creativity or just the things I loved to do, because I got to work on this next program, or I got to, you know, it's BS. You know, we're here to live.
I got this book in front of me right now. Asking It Is Given, mm-hmm. by Abraham Hicks, mm-hmm. and you mentioned the page I'm on right now, by the way, is like, it's like a list of emotions, right? Like, and you mentioned, get yourself feeling good, don't beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. The way I understand it is, you can't really attract or do anything positive from a negative place. I mean, maybe you could, but it's really hard to.
Well, yeah.
So is our job? Is our job to, like, so it says, like, number one on that list is joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love. That's where we want to be. And 22, which is the lowest, is like fear, grief, depression, despair. And there's a bunch of them along the way.
Yeah.
So in order to actually have that law of attraction working for us, should we be acting out of love? Is that our, like, main thing?
Well, ideally, sure. But I mean, that's a tough thing to do for us as humans in this society. But obviously, I would think it would be obvious that being in that higher vibrational state, or chemistry state, however you'd like to do it, is preferable. You know, again, another little woo-woo conversation that I truly do believe is that this ocean of energy, we are this mirror, miraculous manifestation of energy. We get to have physical and emotional experiences that no other energy can have, right? I mean, this is how the universe experiences itself. So it stands to reason that it should be a good experience, right? We have these emotions that range from feeling crappy to feeling really good. A lot of people have taken it on themselves that I just feel crappy all the time. That's how they've wired themselves and all that. But we're here to have the wonderful experiences. But they're not wonderful without the contrast, right? Abraham Hicks talks a lot about the contrast. So you have the moments of the darkness and the sadness and the anger and the worry. But those are there to guide you back on path, not to sit and wallow in or learn a lesson or teach yourself a lesson or whatever. It's like, it's a miracle we have those things. They tell us, hey, you're not acting in alignment with who you really want to be or whatever. But look, sometimes things just happen and we process and we have grief and we have all those things. It's a part of the miracle of being human that we have grief. Right. But then there's the inappropriate clinging to the grief or hanging on to the grief for way too long. I mean, this is where we as humans, we just do it to ourselves. Right. You know, we just do it to ourselves and we learn to do it to ourselves. We learn it from TV or we learn it from our parents or we're not learned to beat ourselves up and give ourselves crap and to be unnecessarily sad for a long time. We learn this stuff.
Who was it? Carl Jung? I still don't know how to pronounce it, but he said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will control your life and you will call it fate. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, it's the basic premise of all the work that I'm doing. Because we're walking around thinking that we're conscious, but we're actually operating unconsciously and on autopilot. And we will not have true freedom. And we truly will not step into our power as creators. We are here to create. We are here to create. We have a physical body to move things around and create. We have ideas to create. It's clear. We are creative beings. The universe is creative in nature. Everything is creative, and we are certainly a part of that. And we have that extra layer of bonus that we get to consciously create. It's freaking amazing. And yet, most people don't do it. They unconsciously create a bunch of crap and say the universe is against them, that they got dealt a bad hand. But all I got to do is spend 20 minutes on YouTube and you can find amazing stories of people in way worse than you situation who have done so many amazing things and changed the world. So there's no truth to that your circumstance is your limitation because there's too many examples of people who should have been dead or whatever who are out there changing the world.
Yeah. Nick Wojcik, just one example. Yes. Man, this is really, really good stuff. Just reminds me of a conversation I had yesterday with a woman, and she was having relationship issues, and she talked about her father, and she said, you know, my father just didn't love me because I was a woman. And once he had a son, finally, he made this comment to me, and I said, well, who told you that? And she's like, what do you mean? She said, well, who told you your father didn't love you or didn't appreciate you because you were a woman? She's like, well, it's evident. I was like, no, tell me where it became evident. And you could see the shift, like that pause in her mind, like, well, no one told me. Well, how do you know that to be true? Well, I just thought it was, that's why he was, and it's a story that, like, I'm just connecting dots here. We're meaning-making machines. Where yes. She just created a meaning out of that to mean for herself she's not worthy, and she might have done it when she was 12. Today she's 45 living out this truth, which is false.
Most of like the imprinting that happens between 0 and 7 is almost unchangeable, but it is changeable. It just takes, like, this is one of the other things that I'm very passionate about, and that if you watch me from here on out, you'll see it come to the forefront, is breath work. Breath is another one of these things that's right here. It's right here. We had it the whole time. And I'm learning so much about the power of the breath and how we can change our body's chemistry and do this rewiring. The reason I'm so passionate about it is because it is, the proper breath work gives you direct access to that subconscious mind, and you can feed it with this stuff that you, the new messages, just with no interference. And it's a fast track, right? I like the fast track, you know, as fast as possible, but realistic. But it is realistic. There's lots of other things that you can do to accelerate the rewiring of the brain. But breath
is that tied into meditation, breathing through meditation?
Yes. Yes, the breathing is basically a meditative exercise. Yeah. And it helps people, especially who can't meditate. That's their story about how much, my monkey mind and all that other stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Number one, that's totally okay. And meditation is not about having no thoughts. That's just a misdefinition. But but still, you can get very still and very quiet. And the breathing definitely takes you to that space. It just because you're having a direct chemical impact on how your brain is processing things. And so you literally are shutting things off that would have you go, you know, it's all science. I love it.
So, Bob, if I'm interested in learning more about this breathing and meditation, because I follow Joe Dispenza's stuff. Mm-hmm. Sounds like something that he talks about. Where can I go to find your stuff on it?
So I would go to meetbobdoyle.com/breath. Because that's where I'm getting ready. I mean, I'm literally, before we were on, I was working on, because I'm getting ready to do a session there. But if you go to, or I got a better idea, because the process that I use is Soma. And there's a lot of them out there. They're great. But I love Soma. And you can go to meetbobdoyle.com/Soma and just check out any of their free stuff. And there's a good bit of it. And you can start experiencing exactly what I'm talking about, like within 30 minutes of us not talking. So, I mean, it's really super powerful stuff.
S-O-M-A, Soma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, meetbobdoyle.com/Soma.
All right, I'm going to go meetbobdoyle.com/Soma.
Cool.
Bob, thank you. This was really, really good. You literally took the mystical side of the law of attraction and geeked it up a little bit, but made it super practical,
good.
I think. Yeah. I agree. If you guys like this episode, smash that 7-star button. But if you didn't, we'll settle for 5 stars and really appreciate all your support.
Come on, 7.
7. That's my limiting beliefs. I didn't believe I could get
that's
7.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks, Bob. We really appreciate you being here.
It's been a real privilege.
My pleasure, guys. It was fun.
All right, man.
From here to there, you're going to grow because you've listened to our show. If you like our podcast vibe, don't be a stranger. Hit subscribe. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to join the B2B Sales Secrets Facebook group, and we'll see you on the next episode.